My name is Michael Ryan. I'm from Dean's Grove Cashel, which is only about 1,200 metres from the front of the rock. I'm a dairy farmer, and I suppose where my family has a long tradition of living in the Cashel area. Now, where I want to talk about today was greyhound racing. Greyhounds were an integral part of my youth as I was growing up. My dad had an undying passion. If I was to describe my father, I would say family, farming, hurling and greyhounds. Probably an opposite way around. I'd say greyhounds were nearly first. He loved greyhounds. His first introduction to greyhounds was from my uncle when he was 13 or 14 years of age. And he fell in love with the whole thing. The whole thing, the joy of getting that dog to the track and getting them to perform as good as they could, or to the course of field as well. So like Dad, his passion really and truly, he'd study the farm, he'd study the dogs. He'd be watching at the Turles where he used to go. As he used to say, he used to go to Holy Cross on the way to Mass, but he used to go to religion to the dogs. That's the way it was with my dad. He just adored it. Himself and his pal, Tom O'Dwyer, every Saturday night, this was just what they did. Dad would finish early, get changed, get the supper and go greyhound racing. That's what he loved to do. And in the latter years then, you had Shelbourne Park racing was on as well. So they had a satellite connection to the stadium and you'd have all that on as well. So you had boat meetings. So like you'd be able to watch the best of dogs in Shelbourne Park plus the local dogs running in Turles. So what is greyhound racing? Look, so Dad would be watching the breeding. He'd be looking at the best dog or bitch at the time, and he'd be saying, looking at the dam, he'd be looking at the sire, what kind of combinations worked, and he'd be looking at the bitches that he had at home then to try and breed the best possible dog that he could. So look, the bitch would break down. When I say break down, she'd come into heat, and 2 weeks later then she'd be served, right? So you'd be watching out for where the best stud dog to go is. You'd make your booking and you'd go along and she'd be served, and fingers crossed then, 63 days later, that's how long a gestation is for a bitch. They always went in the night time, never in the daytime, always in the night time. My dad often came down ashen-faced from being awake all night watching this bitch having pups and making sure everything went well. Because as you can imagine, a bitch is going to get very tired after having her. Like a bitch could have 5, 6, 7 pups in her first litter. So you can imagine after having 3 or 4 pups and she's at this for a couple of hours, she's exhausted. So Dad would give her a hand to have the pups and be watching and watching and watching her. And making sure then all the pups would suckle the bitch to make sure they get the colostrum, which is obviously the key to life for a mammal. And all that would be done, and done perfectly. The care, the attention that my dad gave to the dogs and ourselves as well, we're ingrained into it. Where we stepped in at that stage then was, the pups, as you may or may not know, they don't open their eyes for about 2 weeks. But the more handling and petting and rubbing that you do to those pups, or any dogs, in the first 12 weeks of their life decides how timid and how friendly they're going to be. But once you do that, they'll maul you. They'll love you. It's really important then feeding the dogs. God, the feed, I could still smell it. Like the stew that it was made from was as good as you or I would put up in front of us and eat. Where there was chopped carrots, there was cabbage, onions, whatever vegetables Dad could get. There was mince in it. Mince we got from the local butcher inside my neighbour, Martin O'Dwyer. We got the best of stuff for these dogs. They were fed brilliantly. This was cooked outside in the dog's kitchen, as we used to call it. And the smell of it would be just fantastic. Like, it really was top quality stuff. We all want to have this dream of seeing that dog in Shelbourne Park winning the Derby like a woman over there from Killinall did last weekend, O'Donnell, Jennifer O'Donnell. And she's after doing it 2 years in a row, which is an extraordinary achievement by anybody. It's never been done before in ground racing. She's after training 2 litter brothers. One brother won it last year and she trained the other brother to win it this year. Now that has never happened before, and probably it's unprecedented and may never happen again. Now, we did race many dogs. We went everywhere. We went to Kilkenny, we went to so the local tracks here are Turles, which is where, the main track we would have gone to, Clonmel and Kilkenny are only up the road. We went to Tralee, we went to Enniscorthy, Mullingar, Shelbourne, Harold's Cross. Dad had gone to the moon to win a race. So I remember we brought this bitch down to Tralee one time, and we thought she stayed the distance. So in the semi-final, she took off like a jet. Like, she was way ahead. I said, Jesus, this one is running a blinder. It's fantastic altogether. What did the dirty devil do when he coming towards the finish line, start looking around, like, you know, where are the rest of them? Anyway, we had her back. Like, we put money on her expecting she'd win. Like, anyway, she got caught in the line. So, geez, going home that day, we got no chips going home to Abbey Field going that evening anyway. So we're all disgusted, heads down. Anyway, we didn't gamble very often, but that time we did. What did she go along and do? She qualified for the final. Like, she came second or third, so she qualified. So when we went down to the final anyway, said, Jill, we'll run her anyway. She won the final, which was fantastic. But we had no money on her that night. Actually, a friend of ours next door, Tom O'Dwyer, he lives in the old road in Cashel. In 1978, there, Tom had a pitch running in the Oaks, smoky flavour. So Tom and Dad are best buddies anyway, chatting away about this pitch getting ready for the Oaks. And Tom said, "She have a chance now, you know." He said, "She's doing everything right." So anyway, Daddy went in anyway the first morning of the course in Clonmel, and he looked up at the boards and she was 40-1. So Daddy said, "Right, I'll put a couple of quid in her." Anyway, as luck would have it, she won the Oaks. Tom won his first Oaks, and Daddy bought his first colour television. So we always remember that. And any remember colour televisions then? They were big, they were wide as they were big. Like, there was this big massive back, and I'm like, we had to put up a shelf in the corner of the kitchen. I would be on to remember. It's just great bond and friendship that greyhound racing has created and does create. It might be a very small sporting industry within the country, but for me, I don't think people realise that the connections and the rural life that it gives to a lot of people, there's so much they get out of that well-being of going off and walking their dog and up and down the road, walking their dog here, training them, bringing them to the track. It's something for them to look forward to. That benefit that's there for somebody to have something to look forward to, for bringing their dog to the track in Thurles. You're spending the whole week looking forward to Saturday night, your dog is going racing. You're grooming him, you're looking at him. It's a bit like somebody having a flower patch outside. You keep looking at the flowers to see how they're growing, but like, they do grow, but you don't. It's happening slowly in front of you. There's that joy. The greyhound race only takes 29, 30 seconds, but there's a great thrill in it that they might qualify for the next night, for the final. They might qualify for what's later on. So it's a journey that you're on. So like, and then you're going to chat to your buddies and your friends afterwards, and you're going home in the car, and hey, don't get me wrong, you get a few bad ones too. That's all part of it. But you're always hoping for that dream. The dream is getting the good one and maybe making a few quid out of them, selling them here and moving them on and see how they get on if they go to England or they go to another train or somewhere else. And that's the joy. It's the journey, and it's what it's all about.